If this is your first time, you're kind of coming in at the tail end of a movie, but the good news is you go to newlifewichita.com and you can watch or listen to all these messages, or for some of you, there was one of these you want to re-listen to, and I would encourage you to do that because this series has been very, very important because the mission of this community of New Life Wichita is to make fully devoted followers of Jesus. So we've been looking at the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John specifically, to discover from Jesus what does it look like, what does it mean to be a follower. And part of the reason this is so important is because in the 21st century USA Western society, people have been taught that Jesus' imitation was to become a Christian. The problem is nowhere in the Gospels does Jesus invite someone to become a Christian. And the problem with the term Christian is you can define it any way that you want. You can say anything you want, do anything you want, and declare, I'm a Christian. We are especially seeing it in current culture these days in the U.S., where we're surrounded by people, they say, hey, I'm a Christian, and yet again, they're doing and saying things, and like, even if you're not a Christian, you're like, I don't think that's what he meant. And then we see people in positions of power that I am a Christian, and we will be able to say Merry Christmas and do these things and all that. And then you compare that with some of the other things like, okay, you may say Merry Christmas, but you're saying some other things, and I'm having a hard time. So the awesome thing is the invitation for Jesus was not to become a Christian. The invitation was to follow him, to become a follower, to become a disciple of his. And so our mission, before we just jump into today's content, is that that's our mission, is to make fully devoted followers of Jesus. And before we jump into today, I'm going to just give you about 60 seconds of here's where we've been as we begin to conclude over the next 2 weekends. And the very first thing that we've said is that everybody's been invited to follow. That no matter what you've done, how much you've done, how little you've done, how little church you've had, none of that matters. It's an open invitation. Whatever stage of life that you're in, you have been invited to follow. Begin the process of following Jesus. It just begins with a step. Secondly, we've said it's an invitation to a relationship. It's not an invitation into a church or a religion or a list of to-dos and to-don'ts and these things. The thing that sets this apart is it is an invitation into a personal relationship with an invisible God who reveals himself through the wonder of all creation and through his Son, the resurrected Jesus Christ. And when you hear us talk about a relationship or pursuing a relationship with Jesus Christ or leading people into a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's really what we are here to do. The third thing is that we've said being a sinner is a prerequisite. So if you'd say, I'm a sinner, awesome. All right, you're good to go. Because you think, you know, well, I can't follow because you don't know what I've done or what's in my past and decisions that I've made and all that. We've discovered in this series, everybody that followed Jesus in the first century, they were all sinners. In fact, some of them were like world-class sinners. They were some of the most notorious, worst of the worst. In fact, they had their own categories of sinner. And then we said something maybe best of all is that doubt is not a disqualifier. Even Jesus' first century followers, up until the very end, still struggled with doubt. These are the ones that ate with him, camped out with him, witnessed all of the things that he did and he accomplished, and they followed him. They saw these miracles, and they had doubts right up to the very end. In fact, I love the prayer, the conversation between Jesus and a young dad. There's this moment in the Gospels where Jesus says, if you can, and Jesus is like, if I can, if you believe, anything is possible. And you've got this young dad just says, I believe, but help my unbelief. And like for him, like most of us, we can relate to that. Like, I believe this much, but there's just this other part I struggle with. And then we ask the question, if I'm going to follow Jesus, where is he taking me? So if it's follow the leader and the leader's taking us, where is he taking me? And we discovered that he's leading us towards an overwhelming sense of faith. Specifically, that Jesus is seeking to lead us to a place where we have a faith that overwhelms fear. That we would be able to face all kinds of circumstances, no matter what the circumstance is, and in that, still find peace. Because Jesus says over and over again, he's saying to his disciples, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? And again, as we talk, like, Jesus, I don't know if you noticed, but like it was a typhoon. The boat was sinking. We were going to drown. And when you're going to drown, you're supposed to be afraid. And she's like, no, I know the boat was going down. But why are you afraid? Don't you understand that you serve a God that knows you, that God cares for you? And then he led them where he wants to lead all of us. He's seeking to lead them to a confidence in God that overcomes all kinds of fear and all kinds of circumstances without giving in to fear. And that's where Jesus leads us. And then we said that all followers dress alike. And if you weren't, you're going to have to go back and watch and listen. I'm not going to explain all that, but we're all supposed to wear the same thing. And then we said that following Jesus will eventually cost you something. Following Jesus eventually costs us something. That salvation is free, but following Jesus will eventually cost us something. But we don't need to fear that, because there went in that moment where we realized this is a moment where I need to say no to myself, to say yes to God. That's an exciting moment, because it's a defining moment. It's because it's where you figure out and really discover who you are and whose you really are. And then last week, we had a very interesting opportunity to learn from Judas. We learned something that's both convicting and encouraging, and that is that God's hand cannot be forced and His will cannot be thwarted. It means that we do a gut check, that every now and then we just need to ask ourselves, am I following Jesus for what's in it for me? Am I following Jesus so that I get heaven when I die and that He somehow makes my life better, or I can pray and throw out His name and like a candy machine, it's going to pop out good things for me? You know, am I seeking to use God to accomplish my goals? Am I a consumer Christian? Because when Jesus talked about it, He said, to follow me means that you say this to God, not my will, but your will be done. And so that's the first six parts of the Follow series, and that leads us to today. And then next week, trust me, you do not want to miss next week. If you're going on vacation for the second half of the week, you know, for the 4th of July, I just want to encourage you to get back in time to be physically present here in community, because next Sunday morning, we're going to have with us an amazing individual, amazing young adult, and her whole story encompasses this entire series. In fact, when it's done, you're going to just be like, Chad, why don't you just have her talk, and that's all we would need to hear. Because she's got this amazing story that encompasses everything that we've talked about in this series and what it means to follow. And several weeks ago, I had a chance to sit across from the table and hear her story, and I was riveted. And I walked away humbled, and I walked away inspired, and you will experience the same thing. And then also, I want to encourage you, if you have anyone in your life that they've experienced some sort of struggle with faith in God or church, they feel burned by the church, or they've gone through circumstances that has caused them to question God and His goodness and all of that, get them here next week. Bribe them with lunch, tell them they'll meet a cute guy or cute girl, bribe them to take them to see Jurassic Park or whatever it is, but get them here, because this could be the thing that helps them to move past that, to find healing, to find hope, and to find some just like never before. So today we're going to discover an extraordinarily important question when it comes to following Jesus. In fact, the younger you are, the more important this question is. And every single person in their journey in following Jesus is going to at some point be tempted to hit the unfollow button. But before you unfollow Jesus, you need to ask this one question. This question actually comes from a conversation between Jesus and some of His closest followers. And we're going to be in the book of John chapter 6. But here's what's going on. If you grew up in church or Sunday school, you've heard about the baskets and the loaves and the fish and Jesus feeding the 5,000. So you have 5,000 people. They've experienced a miracle. They're all going crazy. They're all amped up. And they want to make Jesus king. And instead of Jesus allowing the people to proclaim Him the King of the Jews, instead He gets in a boat, He heads across on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, He ends up into a town called Capernaum. It's right on the coast of the Sea of Galilee. Some people that were part of that feeding, they realize, hey, Jesus is gone. Rumor is He's going to cross. So they go over. Word gets out. Hundreds of people crowd the synagogue where Jesus is beginning to teach in Capernaum. And they begin to kind of goad Jesus. They begin to kind of taunt Jesus to get Him and heckle Him to get Him to do another miracle. And Jesus recognizes that some of the people that were fed on the other side, that they have showed up, and they're like, hey, show us a sign, and telling their friends, like, hey, watch this, watch what happens, show us a sign. He recognizes these are some of the same people, so He decides to use this as a teaching moment. And He had just fed them literal bread, so He begins to use that analogy and begins to say, just like I fed you with literal bread and now you're hungry again, did you know that God will provide something for your soul that will fill you, for your spirit, for your heart, and it will fill you up forever? So He begins to compare Himself to bread, and He says, I am the bread of life that comes from heaven. And some in the audience are going, no, you're not. like, we know your daddy, Joseph. We know your mama, Mary. You know, there are rumors about your birth, but you were born like a baby just like the rest of us. So, no, you did not come from heaven. Jesus is like, yes, I did. And so now suddenly there's this tension in the crowd. And Jesus continues, and his sermon just gets weirder and weirder. He says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood, at which point the parents begin to usher the children out of the room. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. And he just goes on and on. It gets stranger and stranger. And he's like, there's real food and then I'm food. And the crowd starts to murmur like that's sacrilegious. This is, he's talking about cannibalism. I mean, this is really uncomfortable. And the apostles, the 12, they're sitting there and they're watching this and they're thinking, okay, don't lose the crowd. Don't lose the crowd. Because, you know, we're just days away. We can sense it. We're just days away of you being proclaimed the king. And in fact, the group just south of here, they want to proclaim you king already. So let's not lose the crowd. But John tells us on hearing this strange sermon, many of his disciples. So this is the larger group of people that just kind of went wherever Jesus went, that followed him for the miracles and the food and the excitement. So these people have been following him for a while. On hearing this, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Or who can embrace it? Who can go along with this? Now the crowd's beginning to kind of turn on Jesus, but the 12 apostles, like, they're sitting there and they're recognizing what's going on. And we know that earlier, James and John, two of the ex-fishermen, they started following Jesus, that they had gone to Jesus, said, hey, when you become king, we want you to make us the left and the right. And now they're thinking, okay, if we lose the crowd, he's not going to become king. And if he doesn't become king, we're not going to be left and right. And so things are starting to go bad. And it's likely that Jesus, likely that at this point, they're just wanting to stand up and put their arm around Jesus and say, he'll be right back with you in just a moment. Matthew, why don't you come up and tell some tax collector jokes or something? And so, Jesus, you're losing the crowd. How about you give them a parable? Like, nobody understands those anyways, but they're really interesting. Or how about, heal somebody? Like, that will just go a long way. But here's the thing, maybe you could just do a little less of this, eat my flesh, drink my blood, because you're starting to lose the crowd, and here's the problem, is who's right behind the crowd, and that's the Pharisees. And they're gunning for you, which means they're gunning for us. And so the crowd is the buffer. And if we lose the crowd, we lose the buffer between those that want to take you out. Now, they didn't do any of that. But that's what they were thinking, because that's what you and I would have been thinking. And he goes on and on. And aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Is this difficult for you? Does this trip you up? Is this too hard? Is this too much? And John tells us that this was a transition point in Jesus' ministry. From this time, many of his disciples, the crowd that were with him, they turned back and they no longer followed. They unfollowed Jesus. They hit the button, not following anymore. Love the miracles, love the healing, love the fish and, the fish and chips on the beach, whatever, all these things. And I love the idea that, you could become king and get rid of the Romans once and for all, that we could be a sovereign nation again. But this whole, you're the bread of life and eat my flesh and drink my blood, like that's just a little too much. It's just a little too strange. We're done. We are unfollowing Jesus. And the 12 apostles, they're sitting there and they're listening to Jesus and they're watching the crowd. And they're listening to Jesus, and they're watching the crowd. And in fact, we discover a verse or two later, they begin thinking, maybe we should unfollow Jesus as well. Maybe I should just kind of get up and like stretch and like step back a little bit, kind of lean against the column a little bit, stretch again, kind of ease behind the column, and then just kind of fade off into the crowd. Jesus who knows the hearts of man, he pauses from his sermon. He turns to the 12 and he says, you don't want to leave too, do you? I mean, you guys aren't going to run off with these other losers, right? I mean, you're not going to unfollow me as well. And the 12 knew better than to lie to Jesus. Like, you could just be thinking something. Jesus is like, hey, here's the answer. Like, whoa, kind of freaky. So they knew, don't lie. But what are you going to say? Jesus says, you're not thinking of leaving too, are you? And this is such a relevant thing for you and me, because regardless of how long you've been following Jesus, eventually the day is going to come for you. And now some of you inside, internally, you're going, no, not me. Well, tell you what, Peter thought the exact same thing. I'll never question it. Never think of unfollowing you. So this is so relevant for us. And I'll tell you when you're going to consider unfollowing Jesus. One of the times is during a time of transition. It could be a transition, you know, and we know this. You know, for those of us like we're invested in church and community, and we know anything about kind of dynamics, we know it's from middle school to high school, from high school to college, or high school to the military, from college to that next job, or from that job that takes you, or that situation that takes you from one city to another city where you don't know anybody and you're disconnected, or you leave this environment and community where people took Christianity seriously, and then you move to another community where people don't seem to really care. It's not necessarily that they're all against it, they just don't care. It's not that important. Suddenly you're surrounded by people who don't believe what you believe, and it's a time of transition, and you're going to be tempted to unfollow. And this is important. You're not necessarily going to be tempted to unfollow because suddenly you don't think it's true. It's like, aha, the New Testament is not trustworthy. It's not that. It's just suddenly that people quit following. I mean, there are people that do that. I mean, it happens, but it's rare. But people quit following because it's too hard. People quit following Jesus because it's too inconvenient. People quit following because it makes them feel isolated. I feel like I'm the only one. I feel like I'm the only one in my class or in my group or in my workplace or in this environment. I feel like I'm the only one. It just doesn't seem to matter here. You know, when I was living at home with my parents and we all went to church, it seemed to matter. But now I'm a freshman in college or I'm in the military. It just doesn't seem to matter. Or in my other community or my other city where it lived, I went to church. It seemed to matter. But now I'm somewhere else and very few people seem to go to church here. It just doesn't seem to matter. It's not just with transitions. It's also relational. Because, you know, like, he's so cute. I mean, he's not a Christian. You know, my Christianity is kind of getting in the way of a relationship. Or she's so, I mean, she's just so. And there's a lot of so. And it's like, she's not a Christian, but the way I figure, anybody can become a Christian, but not everybody can look so beautiful. So I'll just take my chances, and all of a sudden you love him or you love her. And as recent as last week, I've had conversations just as recently as last week with three young adults. I had one 18-year-old young man sit across from me and says, like, this Jesus thing is kind of getting in the way. In fact, if I keep up with this Jesus thing, she's going to leave me. It's going to cost me. Again, it's not like I've discovered that the New Testament isn't reliable. It's got nothing to do with that. It's about, it's just too difficult or it's just too inconvenient. I think I'm going to unfollow. Or you're just going through a tough time. Maybe there's something you have prayed and you've prayed and you prayed and it just seems like God is not answering your prayer. And maybe you've always believed, but believing just isn't working for you right now. In fact, it's frustrating because God just seems totally silent. And you thought if you obeyed, things were supposed to work out. If I am faithful to God, he will be faithful to me. Well, I've been faithful to God. It does not feel like he is being faithful to me. So why am I even hanging on to this? Why am I even praying these silly prayers? I am thinking I need to reconsider this whole follow thing. And you're tempted to unfollow. And you're going to have a moment like that. Some of you already had them. Some of you are having it right now. Some of you are having a moment like this. And now this should be encouraging. Peter, Matthew, James, John, Bartholomew, all of them, all these guys were this close to Jesus. And they had a moment where they were tempted to unfollow Jesus. It's because Jesus is just too narrow. Or it's just too hard. It's just too costly. Jesus following you is, I'm just too isolated. I feel like if I continue to follow you this way, I'm going to look back and I feel like I wasted all this time of all these things I could have done. It's just kind of costing me my life if I continue to follow. And so there's this pregnant pause. Do you guys want to leave as well? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, who's going to say something? Well, of course, Peter is. So Peter, in this moment, who usually says the wrong thing, says a brilliant thing. He's asked this question. And again, I wish I could just stick it so deeply in your heart, in your mind, in your soul that every time you're tempted to unfollow, a transition, like I don't know if I'm going to follow Jesus through this transition, or if you're feeling overwhelmed with a temptation, it's just too hard to say no, or the next time that things aren't going as planned. It just seems like God is ignoring your prayers, and you're tempted to doubt and to say, you know what, I think it's time to forget the Jesus thing, that you would come back to this question that Peter says. It's the most clarifying question. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You don't want to go too. Well, yeah, I kind of do. I kind of do want to go. But Jesus, seriously, to whom shall I go? See, Peter recognized if I back away from you, Jesus, I'm backing towards something else. To turn away from Jesus is to turn from something else. To say no to Jesus is to say yes to someone or something else. So Jesus said, here's the thing, like I've considered all the options. I've done a quick evaluation and know this isn't comfortable. And yes, I do want to go. And no, I'm not sure how this is all going to work out. And yes, I wish this wasn't the way it was. But the truth is, to whom shall I go? And this is the issue for you and for me. The issue for some of you right this very minute, because there's something in your life where you're feeling like it is too hard to follow Jesus. It is too inconvenient to follow Jesus. Or it feels like there's just no payoff to following Jesus. There's something in you that wants to walk away. And Peter would say, that's fine, but before you walk away, you need to consider the options. Because when you unfollow Jesus, you're choosing to follow something or someone else. And so you need to think about that before you simply walk away. To whom shall we go? And then listen to his thought process as he thinks out loud, this process that brings him to this conclusion. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus, what you're offering, nobody else is offering. Jesus, I remember when I was out there fishing with my dad and my friends, and you came out, and there was this dramatic moment, and then you invited me into something grand, into something glorious. Suddenly, our lives had more purpose than they had ever had before. Suddenly, it wasn't just being a fisherman. I felt like I had been invited into the story of God. I'd been invited into history. So where am I going to go? Fishing? Go back, Dad, can I jump back into the family business? And I know what that looks like. I'm going to go home. I'm going to reconnect with my family. I'm going to settle down, have a few kids, hopefully live long enough to see a few grandkids, and then I'm going to die. And Jesus, you've given me the opportunity to live for something. Jesus, I would rather live for something, or rather die for something, than live for nothing. In fact, I'd rather follow you and die for you rather than just die. You have invited us, you've invited me into something so much bigger. And we're a part of it. And yeah, this stinks. This is not what we signed up for. I thought by now you'd be king. But leave and follow who? Leave and follow what? You have the words of eternal life. And again, this is so relevant for you and for me. I mean, do you understand that you and I have been invited into a grand narrative that God is writing, and he's given us each individually and together collectively an opportunity to be a part of the story that he is writing? And see, it's something more grand and glorious than our little insignificant life. So here's the important thing for us to all get a grip on. I mean, you might have it going on now. But 3 generations, 4 at the most, nobody even remembers your name. Like some of you, you cannot name your great-grandparents. And most of you in this room, you cannot name one of your great-great-grandparents. Newsflash, that Instagram, Facebook, doesn't matter. That's our future. Nobody's going to remember our name. So in other words, my glory is not worth living for. Your glory is not worth living for. As a Jesus follower, you and I have been invited into this grand and glorious narrative that began with creation. And it was highlighted when Jesus died for the sins of the world, and now we've been invited in this opportunity to follow the risen Savior of the world. Who are you going to follow if you're not going to follow him? What are you going to do if you're not going to do that? I mean, do you really think there's anything so satisfying in your life that you'd say, I am so glad that I quit following the Savior of the world to be able to do fill in the blank. Or I'm not going to completely unfollow. I'm just going to unfollow in this one area. I mean, he's got an awesome car. He looks, I mean, she looks so good. All right, newsflash again. Fast forward 20, 30, 40 years. Age and gravity, baby. I am living proof. At 20, muy guapo. Not so much anymore. So, this one he says next. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. In other words, Peter's saying, Jesus, you ruined us. We've seen too much. Jesus, if we leave you now, we know we're going to be back in a week. Or if I leave you now and I live a full life, live to be old man, I'm going to wish we could come back to this moment and choose differently. So why in the world would we choose not to follow you? To whom shall we go? I love this question. This is the Braveheart question. When William Wallace says to all those that are thinking of leaving, I fight and you may die. Run and you'll live at least a while. And dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all of those days from this day to that for one chance, for just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom? And as I spoke that, you heard that in the accent. And see, that's it, because Jesus is seeking to lead us to freedom, freedom from fear, freedom from captivity, freedom from bondage, freedom from an enemy that never rests in seeking to kill, steal, and destroy our lives. Whoever he spends every moment, which he does not rest. And all of you, you know the voices in your head. You hear them. The ways that you fall short, or you're not enough, you're not good enough, or God's just disappointed with you, and these constant barrage of messages, these negative voices in your head. And isn't it amazing that we could rarely remember the positives, but man, somebody said, is one thing negative, and 20 years later, we can remember it. And Jesus is seeking to lead us to freedom. And this question, to where shall we go? It gives us an opportunity to avoid a season in our life in which we will want to go back and do things differently. It's a question that allows us to avoid unnecessary regret. This is the question that if we would just pause and ask in the middle of a difficult transition, a tough temptation, or those trials that just want to take us out. The question being, if not Jesus, who? If not Jesus, what? You owe it yourself to answer that question. It's like, anybody else offering eternal life? Anybody else inviting us into a grand narrative that's bigger than our little life? I mean, are we going to be able to connect to anything else that has eternal consequence? And isn't it true, you've seen enough, you know enough, you've experienced enough to already know that if you decide, God, Jesus, I'm going to unfollow, there's something in you, you know you're going to want to come back and do it differently. Some smaller, big way. To whom shall I go? That's the question. Transition, temptation, trouble. They all create questions, and that's okay. But if you choose to unfollow because of something you hear in a classroom or a lecture hall, and you don't first consider who you're going to follow or what you're going to follow, what you're going to sign up to, you make a foolish decision. It's always during times of transition and temptation and trouble where we have to wrestle with the question of, where's God? Why did God allow this to happen? Why didn't God come through for me? In fact, I've had enough conversations here just recently as a side comment that we're going to follow this series with a short series just simply called When God. And we're going to deal very specifically just following this series as far as what do we do when God seems inattentive or uncooperative or late. Because there's always, always questions, and that's okay, but it's a mistake to simply step away from Jesus because there are questions that you don't have answers to. Because just because you don't have an answer to a question does not mean there's not an answer. It just means you don't know it yet. Peter, all those years, he faced these questions. Are you prepared to walk away from the calling on your life just because you're afraid of how it's not going to work out? Is that the reason enough to unfollow Jesus? I have personally faced this question so many times in my life. I have definitely faced it in ministry. I'm sure all of you think that full-time ministry is rainbows and unicorns, but I can assure you that it is not. There have been many times that the alarm goes off in the morning, and I just want to hold up the white flag. God, I give up. Give it to somebody else. Or in personal relationships, there were times like, God, I want to unfollow in my marriage. Like where I feel Jesus is leading me in my marriage, like that's just too hard. I don't want to do it. So many situations and circumstances where I face that moment, like what I've talked to you about, that moment where I'm tempted to unfollow that just seems too hard, too difficult, I don't have the energy, and I'm so glad that I didn't. And you'll be so glad that you didn't. You will be so grateful when you look back. When you look back on your life, and then the cool thing is you get far enough out and you look back like, I don't know, I don't even understand why I was even considering that. So the question is, to whom shall I go? To whom shall I go? For you have the words of eternal life. I have seen too much. I have believed, I've come to know that you're the Holy One of God. Salvation is free and costs you nothing. Following Christ will cost us something, but refusing to follow Christ costs us everything. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that we get to gather in community like this, physically, for those that are joining us online. But God, there's just something about being in a room like this where the focus is on Jesus and it's on you. Because when we leave this place today, Father, normal life is there for us tonight. Tomorrow morning is Monday. And we have to go back into our workplace or our summer class or our summer job or whatever it is that we've got going on, wake up in the same relationships. But Father, every one of us in this room, there's some area of our life and maybe just in general where we are struggling in our ability to follow. And so Father, I pray for all of us. I pray for give us the ears to hear your voice, your encouragement, that you are near, that you are with us, that you are aware. I pray that you give us a sensitivity to your spirit and to your leading to be going in the right direction and to not turn away because you are trustworthy, because you love us, and you will not intentionally harm us. And so, Father, I pray for all of us that you would give us the strength as we follow, and I pray ahead of next week as we have someone that shares an incredible story where the majority of us in this room, we would have tapped out long before and quit following, and they didn't. So I pray ahead of that for next weekend and for those that you would bring into this room and into this place next Sunday. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.